Good morning. Today's daf in Yevamos Nun Gimel. We're on Nun Beis Amud Beis, and we are a little more than halfway down in the Amud. We're going to start this morning from the words Tanya Namihachi, a brisa to support this as well. To support what? So here we are in the fifth parak of the Masechta. A challenging parak, but a short one in Mirz Hashem this morning. We're going to be finishing the fifth parak. In the fifth parak, so what we discussed in the Mishnah, there was one Mishnah in the beginning of the parak on Daf Nun, and the Mishnah went on to describe what happens if it's a one-on-one. One Yavam, one Yavama, and you do get, followed then by Chalitza. You do a get, followed then by Maimer. You do Maimer, followed then by Chalitza. And basically going through every single permutation and what happens in such a scenario. The Mishnah also goes on to describe what if there is one Yavam and two Yavamas. And then one Yavam does to one of them a get, to the other one a Maimer, to one of them a get, to the other one a get. And what are going to be the consequences of doing those dual actions? To the two different Yavamas. Okay? And then what we did is, since the Mishnah, is that we've been discussing a number of the cases of the Mishnah, a number of the scenarios of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. This is the last point that we discussed yesterday, and it is obvious that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because the Mishnah goes on to describe that once you do Chalitza, there's nothing after Chalitza. Chalitza ends, closes the whole case, closes the discussion. To which the Gemara observed yesterday, that has to be Rabbi Kiva. Why does that have to be Rabbi Kiva? Because let's consider. The Yavam does the Chalitza to the Yavama. Okay, now that's it. Zika's done. It's over. And now what? And then if you do anything afterwards, let's say, for example, you do Mimer afterwards. Or let's say you do Bia afterwards. Does that have any consequence whatsoever? The Mishnah said no, because Chalitza ends the story. So the Gemara noted yesterday that has to be the sheet of Rabbi Kiva, because let's say we don't hold like Rabbi Kiva. First of all, which Rabbi Kiva? The sheet of Rabbi Kiva that there's no kedushin that's tofes by Chai V'Lavin, right? A discussion that we had back on Daf Mem Tes, right? A couple days ago, more than a couple. But the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes says, what's going to make a mamzer? So according to Rabbi Kiva, any Isra Lav is going to make a mamzer. Why? Because there's no tvisis kedushin by Chai V'Lavin. So when a man does Chalitza to his Yavama, so now what? Now he's prohibited to her, but the prohibition is what? It doesn't revert back to Eshesach. It's a new prohibition of Asher Lo Yibane, that once you rejected her, so that's it. You no longer have an opportunity to go ahead and to marry her again. But it's a lav in the Torah. It's not an Issa Kares. She's not an Irva to you anymore. And so therefore, when the Mishnah goes on to say that there's nothing after Chalitza, that's great if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva. But if you don't subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, and parenthetically, the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Akiva, so what does that mean? That means that the chalutza to you was a lav, and if you attempt to be toface kedushin, the kedushin is going to be toface. Okay, good. This is the last point that we made yesterday. It's a correct point. And the Gemara now, we're going to be starting off our morning this morning discussing a really nuanced point within the sheet of the Chachamim. So let's begin. Tanya Namiachi. The Gemara quotes a brisa. I'm a Rebbe and Dvarim Halalu Omrim Eladiv Rebbe Akiva. So this is Nun Beis Amud Beis. It's halfway down on the Amud. And so our Mishnah is only going according to the sheet of Rebbe Akiva Shayose Chalutza Kereva, where the Chalutza is like an Ereva. Again, a lav is equivalent to an Ereva. There is not going to be Tfisas Kedushin. So the Chachamim Omrim, however, the Chachamim say Yeshach Chalitza Klum. There is something after Chalitza. There is going to be marriage after Chalitza. I don't mean marriage. I mean a tfisas kedushin. The Ani Omer, now, this is Rebbe talking, right? I'm a Rebbe. So this is Rebbe talking. So the Rebbe just told us what the Chachamim would say, and that is that post-Chalitza, if you attempt to be tofes kedushin, the kedushin will be tofes. However, Rebbe says, my position is nuanced. How? The Ani Omer, emasab is manchikish shalushimishas. Yeah. If you go over to her afterwards, everyone see the chronology? Let's just go over what happened. So it was a Yibam opportunity, one Yavam, one Yavama, and he says no, and he does Chalitza to her. To the same woman afterwards, he changed his mind. He shouldn't. In other words, if under advisement, the rabbis would tell him, no, remember, you said no, you rejected her, you gave her Chalitza. Okay, he changed his mind. So now he goes over to her and he tries to be Tofes Kedushin. He's Mekadesher. So is the Kedushin going to be Chal? Yes. According to the Chachamim, yes. According to Rabbi Kiva, no. Rabbi says, here's my position, it's nuanced. And that is, it depends on what you say. So, Bizman Shekisha L'Shemishas, if you go over and say, I want to be Mekadosh like a regular woman, that would work. It would take effect. Kisha L'Shem Yevamos, Enachar Chalitza Klum. However, if you say, what I'd like to do is I'd like to be Mekadosh as my Yevama, So ein achar chalitza klum. Yeah, that doesn't work after chalitza. Hold that thought of Rebbe. We're going to give, not one, not two, six different explanations this morning in terms of this nuanced position of Rebbe. Tanya Irach, before we do so, let's see another braisa that's going to make the same point. So let's say you do chalitza, and after chalitza, so once again, you go back to her and you say, look, I was wrong. I shouldn't have done chalitza. You were definitely the right woman for me. I want to be mekadesh you. Again, under advisement, the rabbis would say to him, of course not. Don't do it. You did chalitza. Right? You can't marry her. It's a law in the Torah to marry her. Okay, but you did anyway. And you went over to her and you were mekadesh her afterwards. So, Rebbe, Omrim Kishol Shemisha Tzrichayim and Eget L'Shem Yevamasin Tzrichayim and Eget. So here's Rebbe again. Right, the more times we're going to hear it, the more times we're going to be able to digest and absorb it. Rebbe says that if you go over and say, I want to make Mekadosh you just like a regular woman, that works. If I want to make Mekadosh you like Yavama, that doesn't work. Again, what is that? How do you understand that? So hold that thought because the Gemara is going to give six different ways in terms of how to say that. V'chachamim amrim, and now according to the Chachamim, came in Shekisha, L'shemishos, Ben Shekisha, L'shem Yavamos, Tzrichayim, and again. According to the Chachamim, it simply does not matter how you are Mekadesher. If you are Mekadesher, here we go. If you are Mekadesher as a quote-unquote regular woman, if you're Mekadesher as a Yavama, it doesn't matter, according to the Chacham, the condition is going to be Telfes. And you and her now are married. I will not say happily married, because you just violated a law in doing so. But in other words, but you're married. You are, and you're going to have to give her a get. Okay. I'm Rav Yosef. So, where are we right now in the Gemara? So, we start off nice and easy, meaning our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah says that there's nothing after Chalitza. Post-Chalitza, you and her prohibited via Lav. Okay, according to Rabbi Akiva, you can do whatever you want in attempting to be Mekadesher. It's not going to take effect because, according to Rabbi Akiva, a Lav is analogous to, it's comparable to an Erva. Good. Then we know that the Chachamim disagree and that there is Tvisas Kedushin by Chai V'Lavin. And if you attempt to be Mekadesher, it will take effect after Chalitza. That part we know, that part is, I'm going to put this, you know, I'm going to modify a little bit, that's easy. Easy, I don't really mean easy, but that's basic. Then what we're doing now is that we're going a little bit, one level above that. In that there is a Shita of Rebbe, and Rebbe says it depends on how you're Mekadesher after the Chalitza. If you're Mekadesher like an Isha, that will take effect. If you're Mekadesher like a Yavama, that will not take effect. Okay. And the Chachamim said it doesn't matter. In other words, you're trying to be Mekadesher. What difference does it make? Okay. So, what is behind the Shita of Rebbe? So, here we go. There are going to be six rounds. This is a six rounder.
Didn't you learn that you couldn't be Mekadesher after
Chalitza, though? We're not talking about whether you should or you shouldn't. Let's say it real clearly. You shouldn't.
Okay.
We're talking about its effectiveness. In other words, you did so. And does it take effect?
What you did after.
Right. I'm a Rav Yosef, my time of the Rebbe. So here we go, round number one. Asauko de benichzei ger chasav shalohen. Delokani. So in our first attempted explanation of Rebbe, Rav Yosef takes a stab at it, and Rav Yosef says, look, let's say the following. Let's say you have contiguous properties, and your next door neighbor is a ger. And he died. And he has no yorshim. Now, why do we say ger? Because whenever we want to talk about ownerless property, so the best example would be a ger, simply because a ger does not have family members. I mean, obviously, he could get married and he could have children. But in other words, we're assuming right now that he just died without a wife and without children. And so therefore, no one's going to inherit his property. His property now is hefker. Okay, so this is just a fancy way of saying that there is a hefker property next door to him. And what happened was is that he's out there and he is harvesting. And he's harvesting on his property, and he went a little bit over the property line. He didn't know that. At the time, he didn't realize that. And there he is now, harvesting a little bit of his neighbor's property, and happens to be, right now, currently, it's ownerless.
He doesn't know that the neighbor is dead?
He doesn't know. Okay. So, and now, did he make a kinyan? And no, he did not make a kinyan. Why? Because in order to make a kinyan, you need kavana.
He
didn't have any debt, right? He had no das. And so the Gemara says like this. This is now Rebbe. Rebbe's saying that, look, right now you went over to this woman who your history with her is that she was your sister-in-law, your brother died, you did chalitza with her, and now you're trying to marry her. And you shouldn't. Again, let's going back to Alan's point. Of course you shouldn't. You did chalitza. But okay, I agree. You shouldn't. There are plenty of things that we do that we shouldn't do. So and I'm not encouraging, but in other words, just the reality. And so you shouldn't, and you did. So now does it take effect? So Rabbi says, well, if you try to be Mekadosher like a regular woman, that works. If you try to be Mekadosher as a Yavam, it doesn't work. So what Rav Yosef now was suggesting in explanation of Rabbi is, yeah, because you didn't have Kavana. You didn't have the right Kavana. Meaning, what are you trying to do? You're trying to bring back Yibum? How can you bring back Yibum? You did Chalitza. You ended the Yibum. So your Kavana is not there. Similar to, now it's a strange analogy, and the Gemara is going to comment on how strange an analogy it is. It's similar to, you know, you're harvesting in your neighbor's property. It happens to be that right now he died, and it doesn't belong to anybody, and it's ownerless property, and you took it. Did you make a kinyan? No. Why? Because you didn't have the Kavana. Here too, you didn't have Kavana. That's a strange analogy. Amale Abaye Midame, and Abaye right away jumps on this analogy. They're not comparable. In the case of the ownerless neighbor's property, so there you had no Kavana, meaning you didn't even know it was open and eligible. You didn't even know you crossed the border into your neighbor's property. You had no Kavana whatsoever. Over here, you want to marry her. You just used the wrong formula. Wrong meaning, inappropriate formula. But there was kavana over here. If you want comparables, I'll give you a comp. In other words, let's say that there are ownerless property and ownered property, or property that's owned. Let's say it a little bit differently. Let's say there were two properties next to you, both of them were ownerless, and you thought you were in one of the ownerless properties, and meanwhile, you were in another one. But meanwhile, you had intention to be Kone. So in that situation over there. So granted that all your Kavanas were not in, your thinking wasn't straight. The information you thought you knew isn't exactly correct. Meaning this isn't X's property, it's Y's property, but who cares? Meaning when all said and done, you had a Kavana to be Kone, and it works, so therefore it's going to work. So over here, you had a Kavana to be Kone. So Alam Arbaye, so here we are now, round number two. Again, we're looking for an explanation of Rebbe. Rebbe says that post-Chalitza, if you try to be Mekadosher like a woman, like a wife, that works. If you try to be Mekadosher like a Yavama, it doesn't work. So here we go, second explanation. Alam Arbaye, Achab Maiskin Kagon. Darmalais Kashili B'maimer Yivmin. Okay, so when you were Mekadosher, here's the formula that you said. I want to be Mekadosher using the procedure of Maimer Yivmin. Maimer Yivmin. Now, what does that mean? It means that again, you're hearkening back to your Yavam days, right? When you were young and a Yavam.
Where are you at?
Nun Beis Amud Beis, yeah. 8 lines from the bottom. So he's got shlibe maimer yibmin. Rabbi Savra maimer ilu izika karami vase chalitza avkasal izika. V'rabbanan Savra hailuchu dekai v'hailuchu dekai. Mikari ilu amar la izka shlibe maimer yibmin milo mahani ashen nami mahani. And we're going to go back to a suggestion that we made yesterday. Remember yesterday? We asked the following question, Mimer. Is Mimer piggybacking on Zika, or is Mimer a parallel line running across to her that runs parallel to Zika, but is not on top of Zika? Okay? And I said it really quickly, and again, I'm just going to spend just another minute trying to clarify and amplify these two viewpoints that we saw yesterday. Look, at the point, let's go back to the point where you were a Yavam, she was a Yavama. And you could have done Maimer at that point in time. Now, Maimer is the rabbinic institution of basically the first stage of marriage that the Chachamim instituted in the Yibum context. And again, because they wanted Yibum to behave more like a regular marriage. So therefore, Maimer now is going to be a rabbinic institution. But even as a rabbinic institution, the Gemara yesterday said that there are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is basically Maimer is there and it reinforces the Zika. There already is a Zika that exists between you and her. We've discussed since the beginning of the Masechta. And the Maimer goes on top of the Zika, reinforcing the Zika. That's one way to view it. The other way to view it is that, no, Maimer is running alongside the Zika. Maimer is a rabbinic institution that doesn't lay on top of the Zika, but runs alongside the Zika. And therefore, we remember yesterday we talked about, can I undo just the Maimer? Well, if the Mimer gets entangled with the Zika, so then we said yesterday, you can't. If the Mimer runs alongside it, then you can. Okay, that's what we discussed yesterday. Here now, same Chakira, same analysis, two ways to look at how Mimer works, But now with a different result, and that is the following. Let's say you're trying to do Maimer after you did Chalitza with her. Again, you shouldn't. Let's say it again. Of course you shouldn't. But does it work? So now this is Abaye's explanation. It's really, it's so analytical. Okay? I'll say it. That's my own, it really speaks to me. In other words, I see this so clearly. In that, if you subscribe to the idea that what Maimer does is that it only amplifies the Zika, it overlays on top of the Zika. So Maimer only works in a Zika context, only when there is a Zika. But post-Chalitza, Zika's gone. Zika's gone. Now you try to do Maimer. Yeah, it's nothing to latch onto. If, however, Maimer runs parallel to the Zika, runs alongside the Zika, So what's Maimer to Zika? They're next to each other. So Maimer exists in a Zika context. Maimer can also exist even in a non-Zika context. That would be an explanation of the Shita of the Chachamim, where the former would be an explanation of the Shita of Rebbe. Okay, that's round number two. Round number three. Rava Amar, Nun Beis Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Rava Amar, Idar Mala B'Maimer Yivim Kule Amalo Pligi Demahanya. If you use the words, the formula of Maimer Yivim, everyone would say that would work. V'ach B'Mai Skin, K'gon Damar Leis Kashile, B'Zikas Yivim. You know what's at the debate between Rebbe and the Chachamim? The formula that you used after Chalitza, and that is Zikas Yivim. That's what you use. That's the formula you use. Rebbe Savar, Yezika. So now, you're trying to be Mekadesher after you did Chalitza with her, and the formula you use is Zikas Yivim. So does that have any kind of hold? Will that take? So Rebbe's of the position we're on the top of Nungim Amad Aleph. Ye Zika Vasai Chalitza Avkasa Zika. So there is Zika. Again, I've lost count in terms of how many times we brought up this basic machlokus, but it is a basic machlokus. Ye Zika or Ein Zika. Meaning, when there's a Yavam and the Yavama, and now obviously there's a mitzvah to be performed, but is there almost like a magnetic attraction between the two of them? Are they bound to one another? Yesh Zika. Or on the other hand, no. In other words, it's just a mitzvah to do, but they're not bonded to one another. So, if I subscribe to Yesh Zika, so now fine. So, Asay Chalitza Afkasa LeZika, so then that means then that once you do Chalitza, the Zika's gone, you have removed the Zika, and therefore, if you try to be Mekadesh or using a Zika mechanism after Chalitza, ain't going to work. However, Rabban and Savri and Zika Mikara. So the Chachamim say, no, Zika never was a thing to begin with. Meaning, we'll use the word Zika, but Zika really isn't a actual entity that exists between the two of them. There's no bond between the Yavam and the Yavama. Just a mitzvah to be done. Ain't Zika. And therefore, and if you use the word Zika Zivmim while you were a Yavam, that works. But again, not because there's a Zika, just simply because it's an accepted, recognized formula in terms of how to do Maimer. Now you want to do it afterwards as well? Okay, it'll work afterwards as well. Okay. That was round number three. Round number four. Rav Shravya Amar Bechalitzas Kshera. Okay, if you did a bona fide chalitza, your chalitza with her was 100% kosher, right? To use a word that doesn't belong over here, glad kosher chalitza. So if you're doing a bona fide chalitza, and then afterwards you try to say something along the lines of, hey, I want to be mekadesh you using zikas yivmim, so that's it. In other words, story over. Nothing to talk about. The chalitza, the 100% kosher chalitza, removed all of the zika, and there's nothing which to speak about. But what happened over here is that you did a chalitza psula. Remember, chalitza psula is any occasion, any time where you're doing chalitza, where yibum no longer becomes an option. What would that be? So here, I'll give you a simple example. Well, let's say before you did a chalitza, you gave her a get. Okay, now admittedly, by the way, you're all over the place. either you got no guidance or you got really bad guidance. Whatever the case is, it doesn't matter. In other words, you gave her a get. After you gave her the get, so now Yibam is off the table. Now, but of course, she is your Yavama, so now you have to do Chalitza. But this is an example of what's called a Chalitza Psula. It's an inferior Chalitza. Now, Marsav Chalitza Psula Poteres and Marsav Chalitza Psula Ena Poteres. And so now, is the Chalitza Psula going to take away all the Zika? The Gemara now says that's at the core of the debate over here. So if the Chalitza Psula takes away all the Zika, and then after the Chalitza you try to be Mekadosher using a Zika mechanism, using a Zika formula, so now, if Chalitza Psula took away all the Zika, so then it won't take effect. If it doesn't take away all the Zika, so then it will take effect. That was round number four. Round number five. Rav Ashi amar dekol yama chalitza psula eina poteres. So Rav Ashi is of the position that a chalitza psula doesn't take away all the zika v'hacha. B'yesh tanai b'chalitza kamiflgi. Marsav yesh tanai b'chalitza. Marsav ein tanai b'chalitza. And now the Gemara offers a fifth proposal, and that is there a tanai when it comes to the mitzvah of chalitza? Okay. Tanai, making a condition. So Tanai works in many areas in halacha. Let's talk about where it clearly works, and there is no debate. So you want to be Mekadosh a woman. But you say, look, I want to be Mekadosh you, but, in other words, but on the condition that, and then you can throw whatever condition you want. You can throw in provisions, conditions into any type of kinyan, any type of acquisition. Okay? Marriage is a form of an acquisition. And I'm not objectifying, I'm just simply speaking halachically. And so therefore, if you want to throw a tanai into a kedushin, by all means, everyone agrees that it would work. Okay. Can you throw a tanai into a chalitza? Okay. Now, unfortunately, okay, not giving anyone ideas, but, and just using Rashi's example over here, you want chalitza? Fine. Okay. But it'll cost, right? I'll give you a chalitza, but only if you give me 200 zuz. Okay. And right, terrible, goes without saying. We're right now just discussing the halacha. Is the tanai over here going to be a bona fide condition? Is it a condition where until the condition is met, the chalitza is not going to take effect? That's what's on the table right now for the discussion. And Rav Ashi says that's the machlokus over here between Rebbe and the Chachamim. And Rashi writes over here, Yishnai b'chalitza. So shechalas l'amenashe titein lo masayim zuz. Rebbe savra ain't tanai moa b'chalitza. Now Rebbe's of the position that, nope, doesn't work over here. Now when I say it doesn't work over here, I'm saying as clearly as I can, the tanai doesn't work over here. Meaning, so v'afilo l'nidna lo ain't tanai moa v'have chalitza. And so therefore, once we reject the institution of tanai, in this case over here, it means they did chalitza, good. He attached the condition, not here. Hilkach lo tafis, my marisha asa balashon zikas yivmim, abasrei, da'avkasi lezikaso. So now, that chalitza is 100% bona fide chalitza, which means what? The zika is gone, and then afterwards he tries to be mekadosh her, afterwards using a zika formula, there is no longer a zika, because chalitza took away the entire zika. Okay, now I admit, by the way, boy, did I say that quickly, and it's complicated, meaning I hope you're following. And by the way, if I may, right, I'm a little bit reluctant, but this person is much of a train wreck, meaning if you're following what's happening over here. In other words, he tried to give her a chalitza, attaching a condition to it, and then afterwards he goes over and says to her afterwards, you know what, I want to be mekadosh you using a Zika formula. Okay, so the guy's all over the place, but again, we're not interested in the drama. The Gemara is only interested in the effectiveness of a chalitza that's given out tanai, and then afterwards, subsequently, what happens if he's trying to be mekadosh or using a Zika formula, and the question really boils down to, is the tanai going to be chal? Is the tanai going to take effect, or is it not going to take effect? And as Rashi explains, according to Rebbe, the tanai is not going to take effect because ein tanai bechalitza. Therefore, the chalitza was 100% bona fide. Therefore, zika is gone, and therefore, afterwards, he wants to be mekadosh or using a zika formula. It simply doesn't work. Ula rabbanan yesh tanai. According to the chachamim, not so fast. The tanai is going to take effect. Bechol chama de lo kaima la paka zika. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, since the chalitza did not take effect because it was attached to a condition, and the condition is a valid condition, therefore there's still going to be a zika, and if afterwards he wants to be mekadosher using a zika formula, it would in fact work. Now, I'm admitting to everybody, I said it quickly, right? And it happens to be, right, this I have down pretty clear. I said it quickly, but it's a lot. It's a lot to digest. It's a lot to absorb. What I haven't said really is, why is there a debate over here by Chalitza? Meaning by Kedushin, there's simply no debate. Everyone's in agreement that you can attach a Tanai to Kedushin. Okay, and why over here by Chalitza? Why are we debating this particular issue over here? Like, why is the Gemara comfortably saying there's a debate on this issue? Either, if we can attach a condition to marriage, so why can't you attach a condition to Chalitza? And so the Gemara doesn't spell this out, and there's a lot of room over here to say it many different ways. I'll just simply suggest that Chalitza is fundamentally different in the sense that Kedushin is, on one hand, it's marriage, but also it has acquisition features to it. It is much like a Kenyan, as opposed to Chalitza, which is more, even though it separates the two of them, but it's more, if you will, mitzvah than it is Kenyan. Okay, something along those lines.
Use the example of Get, saying that the Tanai, as a condition, is rejected because just like Get, you can't put a condition on the separation of that marriage, you can't put a separation on Chalitza as well.
Could be. Okay. Ravina Amar, and finally we're up to the sixth and final round over here. Ravina Amar Dikolama Yeshnai Bechalitza. Ravina says, no, everyone's of the opinion that you can make it tonight when it comes to Chalitza. We will get to the Gemara in Kedushin, Mirza Hashem, and we're going to learn about Tanai Kafel. Right? Gad and Reuven. So they made the following proposal to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, look, we haven't crossed the Jordan River yet, but this land that we're on right now currently, it's good. It's really good. You know what? We'd like to annex this to Eretz Yisrael. Right? You down for that? So Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm giving a quick synopsis of the end of Sefer Bamidbar. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, what? You're gonna stay here and we're gonna go and we're gonna fight in Eretz Yisrael? Better idea. You get to keep this land, but only on the condition that you go in with us to Eretz Yisrael, you fight and help us conquer Eretz Yisrael, and then afterwards you're gonna go ahead and you're gonna acquire. And based on that, and I'm giving the really rough draft of this particular halacha. So the Gemara in Kedushin reads the Pesukim really carefully in terms of how to make a successful Tanai. It's got to be doubled. In other words, you have to say, if you go in and fight with us, then you'll get it. And if you don't go in, then you're not going to get it. So you have to have the double language. And there are many other rules in terms of what makes for a valid condition. And this is what's called Tanai Kafel. And every time you have to make a condition, do you have to follow Tanai Kafel rules? That, the Gemara says, it's a machlokus between Rabbi and the Chachamim. Okay. Good. I'm going to breathe. Okay, so... yeah. I already finished my coffee.
Yeah.
So the...
I get you another coffee.
I really appreciate it. I'm good. So what we have over here in the first part of today's daf is a basic machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. In terms of after having done Chalitza, you tried to go ahead and to marry her again. Rabbi Kiva says it doesn't take effect. Interestingly, our Mishnah follows that viewpoint of Rabbi Kiva, even though it's not the accepted viewpoint, but our Mishnah follows that viewpoint. And the Chachamim note that no. In other words, after you do Chalitza and you're Mekadesher, you shouldn't have done it, but does it take an effect? Yes. And then there was the sheet of Rabbi. Rabbi says it depends how you're Mekadesher after Chalitza. If you're Mekadesher like a regular woman, that takes effect. If you're Mekadesher through some sort of Yavam, some sort of Mimer Kedushin, it doesn't take effect. And so now, what is the Shita of Rebbe? So we just went through in the Gemara six different ways to say over what Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing about, and we continue. We are on Nun Gimel Amud Aleph. We are at the two dots. Chalatz Vaal Samayim Rabinas Angedu Vaal Veniste Nami Ein Achar Biaklom. So if you go back to the Mishnah, this takes us all the way back to Nun Amud Aleph, and you'll note, after going through the various permutations, remember in the Mishnah, there are two rounds. There's a one-on-one and there's a one-on-two or two-on-one. And in the round number one, it went through every permutation that you could go through on a one-on-one, meaning get chalitza, get bia, yeah, right, the et cetera, et cetera. Now, in total, there came out to 12 different permutations. Because remember, in a one-on-one, you can't repeat. You can't do chalitza to the same woman. Okay, fine. So it's going to be three different possibilities on four different actions. Four times three is 12. So there were 12 different cases in the first round. Now, after going through all 12, the last of the 12, we're going to be, what if you do chalitza, followed then by either maimer get or bia? Or what if you do bia, followed then by either maimer or get or chalitza? So then the Mishnah says, nothing after chalitza. Now what the Mishnah really meant was, there's nothing after chalitza and there's nothing after bia. That's what the Mishnah really meant. And as we said back in the Mishnah, for a really simple reason. Because chalitza and bia are recognized by the Torah. That's what those are the Torah action points. Once you do a Torah action point with her, so then there's nothing that takes effect afterwards. But you'll note, however, that when the Mishnah actually records, the Mishnah says, "Ein achar chalitza klum." The Mishnah left out an important point, which we know is true, "Ein achar bia klum." Why didn't the Mishnah say that? Oh. Okay, good. That's a simple question. So chalos vasa maimer v'nasan get uval v'chule v'nisne nami ein achar bia klum. So abai v'rava damri tavayu tini ein achar bia klum. So abai v'rava says, okay, so here's a good time to edit. We're going to edit the Mishnah, and we're going to add the words, Einachar Biyaklum. Okay, good. So, Vitana Didan, and so as far as our Tana is concerned, meaning the Gemara does not accept that our Mishnah is unedited, the Gemara assumes that our Mishnah is, in fact, an edited version, and even though our Mishnah accepts it, how come the Mishnah didn't say it? So, Yivam L'shuk Adifalei, because the Mishnah over here is more interested in talking about the act of chalitza over the act of yibum. Okay. Echad yivam of echad. Echad yivam achas echad shte yivamos masis nilo kebenazai. Detanya. Our Mishnah is not going like the Shita of Benazai. What is the Shita of Benazai? Which is Benazai Omer. Yesh maimer achar maimer bishne yivmim v'yivam achas. So remember in our Mishnah we had a machlokus between Rabbi Gamliel and the Chachamim. Let's say you do maimer to one and maimer to another. So Rebbe Gamliel in our Mishnah says, Ein Maimer Acher Maimer. And the Chachamim say, Yesh Maimer Acher Maimer. And if you remember, the first Amud of our Perek went over what exactly is the Machlokes between Rebbe Gamliel and the Chachamim. But over here, the Gemara introduces us to a third opinion. And that is the opinion of Ben Azai. He says that there will be Maimer Acher Maimer when it's two brothers, two surviving brothers, and one widow. However, there will not be Maimer Acher Maimer when it's two widows and one brother. And we saw this earlier, and we gave we tried to give a shot in terms of what's the difference between the two of them. And it would seem to be that the basic difference between the two of them is that when there are two surviving brothers, so then each one of them has, so to say, has a Maimer ability. And therefore, each one of them is going to have an effectiveness to it. And again, when we talk about effect over here, meaning the second mimer, what effect does it have? So in other words, it has an effect now where they have some sort of quasi-marriage. Even the second brother is going to have a quasi-marriage to her. And then once everything gets settled, he's still going to be prohibited to all of her relatives. Okay. Kates and mimer lezuvichulei lem emesayi lelishmol. So let's say the following is a support to Shmuel. What's the support to Shmuel? Mimer lezu v'chalos lezu. We're talking about the case where you do mimer to one of the widows. There are multiple widows over here. You do maimer to one of the widows, and you do chalitza to another widow. So the Gemara says, this is supportive of Shmuel, Damer Shmuel, Chalos Balas Maimer, Lo Nifzara Tzarasa, that once you do chalitza to the Balas Maimer, meaning, in the case where there are multiple widows, and you gave one of them a maimer, so if you then elect to do chalitza to her, the Balas Maimer, not good enough. So it doesn't resolve the other widows.
Yeah.
Huh?
You
know, I meant the chalitza. Right? Chalos the balas maimer. Right? You do chalitza to the balas maimer. Oh, in other words, right. In other words, you do also have to give her a get as well in order to resolve the maimer. But in other words, just in terms of the full resolution of the yibam situation. So once you give her chalitza, it doesn't resolve for the others. And so you have to do Rav Yosef. And on top of that also, it's going to be difficult for the sheet of Rav Yosef. So mi ketani choleitz chalatz ketani di'evit. So the Gemara says no, because as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about post facto, meaning our Mishnah is not talking about primarily, principally, what should have been done. And again, by the way, please consider that it's clear the Mishnah is talking about b'di'evit, because what's going on over here? One gave a mimer, the other one did chalitza. Clearly, over here we're talking about people who are like not being given good guidance. But in other words, but the point is that from our Mishnah, just because our Mishnah gives a particular formula does not necessarily going to prove anyone's position, because our Mishnah is only talking about b'di'evit, not lechatchila, not what should ideally been done. Get lezuva, get lezuva. Chule lemem misayila. Rabba baravuna, damar rabba baravuna. Chalitza psula tzricha lechazer. Al kol ha'achin. So the Gemara says now the sheet of Rabba baravuna that when you are giving chalitza psula, so you have to go and every brother has to now give chalitza in a case of chalitza psula. Again, second time this morning we're going over it. Chalitza psula means a chalitza where yibum no longer serves as an option. So, but still there's a zika. Still the zika needs to be resolved. Now you're in a position where all you can do is give a chalitza. This is an halacha called the chalitza psula. So there, according to Rava Baravuna, if there are multiple brothers, each one of them has to issue a chalitza. Normally by a chalitza, only one brother has to issue a chalitza, even if there are multiple surviving brothers. But nevertheless, in the chalitza psula, every one of them has to do it. So our Mishnah is seemingly supportive of that. Why? Because our Mishnah says, it's srichin. They need. So the Gemara says, so my tzrichot tzrichot dama. A need over here, even though in the plural, could just simply mean that in these cases, they need. But in every particular case, only one person needs to give. Again, the Gemara is just simply saying that the language of the Mishnah is not absolute proof. Get lezu v'chalas lezu, lema mesayela lishmo v'tavet yufta de Rav Yosef. Now, I know this sounds like we're in a rerun over here. We made this point already. But remember, there are two rounds in the Mishnah. So this, the Gemara is now just picking up on the second round of the Mishnah. Okay. So, lema mesayela lishmo v'tavet yufta de Rav Yosef mikatani cholitz chalatz katani di'avet. Again, our Mishnah is not talking about ideally what should be done. The Mishnah is just simply saying what was done. Again, this sounds like a rerun. It is a rerun. It just happens to be that, again, this is on the second round of the Mishnah. So, Abai and Rava just simply says, add it into the Mishnah, meaning, and Vitani Didani Taras Yavam Lashaka Difale. No, we'd much rather focus on the Chalitza than on the Yibam. Okay, now, our Mishnah went on to say that it doesn't matter whether it's one Yavam, two Yavamas, or two Yavams, one Yavama. So, Bishlam l'Rav Yochanan damar kula beisa b'lav kai, it's rech lashmin and dein kedushin tofsin b'chai v'lavin. We're going to go back all the way to Daf Yud. On Daf Yud, we touched on one of the more fundamental issues in this Masechta. Okay, remember. Let's say there were multiple widows and multiple brothers. Okay. And now, one chalitza is going to be issued by one of the brothers to one of the women. Remember, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish had a really fundamental debate. And that is, are they acting for themselves or are they serving as agents for all the others? When the brother is issuing the chalitza over to his yavama, is he doing it on his behalf or is he a shliach for all the other brothers? When she's accepting the chalitza, so is she accepting it on her behalf or is she accepting it on behalf of all the other sisters? Well, why is that important? Well, according to Rav Yochanan, where it's all acting as shlichus, so that now means that the relationship between all the brothers and all the surviving widows are now going to change. Meaning originally they were eshesach, and now they're all going to get downgraded to just simply a lav. In other words, even though only one brother and only one of the widows were involved in the act of shlichus, but they did so as agents, as shlichim for all the others, and so therefore it's a law for everybody. Oh. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, no, it's not how it works. In other words, he's only acting on his behalf, she's only acting on her behalf. So then isn't everybody else now have to do the mitzvah of Yibam Chalitza? Reish Lakish says no. In other words, there only needs to be bayis echad. Bayis echad that you're either going to build or you're going to take down. But that's it. So that means that according to Reish Lakish, comes out now that all the other brothers to all the other widows are back, reverted back to Eish Yisach in Yisakaris. So, Bishlam l'Rav Yochanan damar kula beisa b'lav kai, yitzarech l'ashmin in dein kedushin tofsin b'chai v'lavin. So according to Rav Yochanan, the Mishnah is very good. Every one of the brothers to every one of the widows is a lav. And now our mission needs to tell us that if you try to be mekadesh, any one of them, it doesn't work. For Rav Yochanan, it's a tremendous chiddush. Meaning, again, subscribing to Rabbi Kiva. I know this part is a little bit challenging, but our mission is going like Rabbi Kiva. When you hold like Rabbi Kiva, they all now are prohibited to each other via lav, but according to Rabbi Kiva, kedushin is not tofsin by chayvin lavin. El Reish Lakish Damar Kula Beis Bekaris Kai Itzrech Lashmin Din Kedushin Tovsin Bechay Vekrisus. But for Rav Yochanan, sorry, but for Reish Lakish, the Chiddush is not as big a Chiddush because there is no Shlichus. The only ones who were involved in the act of Chalitza are only the one brother and the one widow. And that means that all the other brothers to all the other widows are subject to a Karis Isser. In other words, a Shesach. Now, you try to be Tofes Kedushin by an Isser Karis. No, everyone's in agreement that Kedushin is not going to be Tofes. So then, for Reish Lakish, what would be the Chiddush of the Mishnah? So Amalecha Reish Lakish L'otamech Seifa Diktani Baal V'asa Maimer Itzrech Lashmin and Dein Kedushin Tofsin Beishas Ish. So the Gemara says, oh, come on. In other words, Reish Lakish will tell you, you know what the Mishnah is? The Mishnah is simply an algorithm. The Mishnah is just simply going over every single scenario. Here, let me point to the following scenario. One brother, meaning let's say there are two surviving brothers. One brother has bia with her. Another brother does mimer to her or whatever to her. In other words, at that point in time, you know what she is when the first brother had bia with her? She's an Eish Hashish. I now need a Mishnah to tell me that once she's a married woman and somebody else tries to be Mekadosh or it doesn't work, I need a Mishnah for that? Meaning that's obvious. All the Mishnah is doing is just going through every single permutation. Some of them are going to be obvious. True, but in other words, there was Yibum. Okay, anyway. Ella, I did the Tani Hataris Yavam Echa. Right now, let's just stick with the Gemara's point. The Gemara's point right now is that she's a married woman. So Ella, I did the Tana Hataris Yavam Echa, Vyavam Echa, Tani Namishta Yavamas, Vyavam Echad. So the Gemara says, look, that's just simply what the Mishnah is doing. The Mishnah is just going through every permutation. That's all. And so what do you want to tell me? Some of the cases are going to be obvious, and according to Reish Lakish, it's going to be really obvious. The Gemara says it's true, but some of the cases are beyond obvious. A married woman. The Mimer can't take effect to a married woman. Okay, good. The Mishnah goes through every permutation. Chalitz v'asa Mimer v'nasan v'chulei. We're on Nun Gimel Amud Beis. We're going to finish the Mirza Hashem. We're going to finish the fifth parak of the Masechta. Bishlam Chalav Asa Maimer Itzrich. So the Gemara says, look, as far as Chalitza fall then by Maimer, I get it. Salka Dat Chamina Nigzer Maimer Debaser Chalitza Atu Maimer Dekami Chalitza. At least I can envision what the potential problem would be. Meaning, I could think of a reason why the Chachamim don't want to make a Gzeira. I'm sorry. Why the Chachamim would want to make a gzera, and what the Mishnah is coming to refute. Meaning, you did Chalitza first, followed then by whatever. In this case, let's talk Maimer. Okay, so again, there's nothing after Chalitza. Chalitza closes the case. There's no longer a Zika. Story's over. You do Maimer afterwards, it doesn't do anything. Again, according to Rabbi Akiva. So now I understand that maybe the Chachamim would have entertained the idea that, yeah, it's true, but now, in a comparable scenario, remember last time Chalitza Maimer, and we just ignore the Maimer? In the next time this comes around, Maimer Chalitza, what's the difference? Well, who cares what the order is? Last time we ignored the Maimer, this time we're going to ignore the Maimer as well. So that's the potential Gzeira. So Kamash Malan de lo Gazrina. And that's what our Mishnah is coming to tell us, that the Chachamim didn't make such a Gzeira. Ela Chalitza Venasan Get Lamali. Okay, but Chalitza followed them by a Get. Is there even can you even entertain a reason why the Chachamim will make a gzera? Let's say they get flipped. Get Chalitza. Okay? Get Chalitza. Fine. In other words, it's over. So there's no reason why you would make a gzera. And so effectively, the Gemara is asking now, again, that case over there is not necessary. Now, at this point in time, hopefully we all know the answer. And the answer is, the Mishnah is an algorithm. The Mishnah is just simply giving us every possibility, and even though some of them are going to be obvious. Okay, that's going to be the answer. So l'tamech emasefa baal v'asa maimer v'nasen get is baal v'nasen get. So bishlam baal v'nasen get it's terich sakadach amina nigzor get the baser be'ila atu get the kame be'ila. So good. The Gemara says I understand get be'ila or be'ila get. I understand that at least there's a possible gzera that could be made. Notably, that in a subsequent case, the orders are going to get reversed. So, kamash malon delo gazrinan. Ava balvas a mimer lamali. But let's say be'ila followed then by mimer. What's your concern over there? It's going to get flipped next time. I got news for you. If it's going to get flipped next time, so what? That just simply means you did mimer followed then by bia. which actually is a mitzvah. So Eli did the Tanei Chalas Vasa Maimer. So Tanei Nami Bal Vasa Maimer. I did the Bai Lemisne Bal Vnasan Get Tanei Nami Chalas Vnasan Get. So the Gemara says, yeah, but again, same answer. The obvious cases in the Mishnah are there because all cases in the Mishnah are there. Meaning the Mishnah is just simply going through every case. Some of them are going to be obvious. Bizman Shehi V'chule. And now to finish up. Amasis and Deloki Aitana. Now, before we finish up the perek over here, so let's remind ourselves the last point of the Mishnah. Last point of the Mishnah is that the Rabbi Nechemia Omer. Now, before I get to Rabbi Nechemia, I'm back on Nun Amud Beis, and the last like 5-6 lines of the Mishnah. Chalitz v'asa maimer, nasan get ubal, o ba v'asa maimer, v'nasan get v'chalitz, ein achar chalitza klum, bein betchila, bein be'emza, bein besof. So, when you put chalitza in any one of the, in any one of the positions, it doesn't matter whether it's in the first slot, second slot, or even third slot, chalitza is always going to end the discussion. It's going to end the yibum. However, be'ila, bizmanchi, betchila, ein achar klum, be'emza, besof, yish achar klum. However, be'ya, in the first slot, you're married. In the second or third slot, no. In other words, the bia by itself is not going to end the yibum, because it is a bia psula. Okay. And Reb Nechemia Omer, achas bila v'achas chalitza bein betchila bein be'emsa bein besof ein acharei klum. And Reb Nechemia just simply disagrees. He says chalitza or bia, which again are action points min haTorah, if they're put either in the first, last, or middle slot, is going to put an end to the yibum one way or another. Chalitza, of course, terminates. Bia, of course, creates marriage. Okay, so machlokis in the Mishnah between the Chacham and Reb Nechemia, and then just to complicate things a little bit, a third opinion. Masnitz and Deloki Aitana Detanya Abba Yosef Ben Yochanan Ish Yerushalayim Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir. Okay, so an opinion attributed ascribed to Rabbi Meir. Achas Beilav Achas Chalitza. So when it comes to Bia, when it comes to Chalitza, Betchila Ein Achrei Klum. If done in the first slot, that's it. Be'emso v'sof yesh acharei klum, but if done in the middle slot or in the end slot, ain acharei klum. So, let me put better emphasis on the word and say correctly, yesh acharei klum. So for the shita of Reb Meir, so Reb Meir says that bia and chalitza only are going to end the yibum one way or another, meaning either end the zika or make her your wife only in the first slot. But in slot number two or slot number three, it doesn't end it. Yesh acharei klum. Okay, now. Shalosh machlokes bedavar. So the Gemara says, okay, are you a little bit confused? Yes. Okay. Good. We're all a little bit confused. The Gemara says, let's chazer. Let's review. Tana kama savar bia di'ika lemigzer gazrinan. As far as bia is concerned, meaning, when bia is not in the first slot, bia is in slot number two or slot number three, so ika lemigzer. So at that point in time, there's a reason why you're going to be gozer. Go back to the beginning of this fifth perek for an explanation of why the chachamim would be gozer. But there's reason to be gozer. So chalitza, the leka lemigzer, lo gazrina. But when it comes to chalitza, much less reason to be gozer by a chalitza. Again, go back to the beginning of the fifth perek, immediately after the Mishnah, and that for a reminder, for an explanation of why the chachamim didn't feel the need to make a gzera by chalitza. So therefore, that's the Tanakama. Rabbi Nechemia Savar Bia Nami Leika LeMigzar. Now, Rabbi Nechemia is of the position that Bia should there's no reason to make a gzera. Utkamart Legzar Bia Achar Aget Mishum Bia Achar Chalitza. And if you remember at the beginning of this fifth perek, just a couple days ago, we said, yeah, aren't you concerned about Bia after Get because of Bia after Chalitza? So no, Kim de Chalitza Daraisa Mediade. No, Chalitza is a din Daraisa. Get over here only operates on a derabbanan level. Udekamart legzer bia achar maimer mishum bia achar bia kim the bia daraisa hamei diyade. No, again, Reb Nechemia will tell you. No, everyone knows the difference between bia and maimer. Maimer is a rabbinic institution. Bia, in the context of yibum, is a din daraisa. Everyone knows the difference. So Reb Nechemia will just simply say, I don't feel like there's any reason to make a gzera bia, and it doesn't matter whether it's in the first slot, second slot, or third slot. And Abba Yosef and Chanan Savar lo karabanan de gazri bibia. Abba Yosef and Chanan Savar lo karabanan de gazri bibia v'gazer chalitza mishum bia. And as far as Abba Yosef and Chanan's concerned, so he says that there's a gzera by bia. Not only is there a gzera by bia, But you know what? There's also going to be a gzera of chalitza atubia. In other words, the gzera just simply extends even more. Okay, fine. So where do we have? In other words, three shitas in terms of whether chalitza or bia, if not in the first slot. If either in the second slot or the third slot are going to end the story. So Reb Nechemiah says it will always end, doesn't matter what slot it is. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah says it's true by chalitza, but not by bia. And Reb Meir is of the position that the chalitza bia, if not in the first slot, is always going to not end the story, meaning the Chachamim made gzera. Hajalach Reb Gamliel, and that is the end of the fifth parak, and that is where we are concluding this morning. Quick recap of today, in terms of just a quick summary of today's daf. Number one, the Rabbi Akiva says that Kedushin are not tofsin by Chayv Elavin, therefore, after Chalitza, whatever you do is not going to have any effect. The Chachamim disagree. And they say, no, that Kedushin is tofsin by Chayv Elavin. But within the sheet of the Chachamim, there's a sub-machlokus between the Chachamim and Rabbi in terms of how you're Mekadosher after Chalitza. If you're Mekadosher for Ishus or even as a Yavama, it works according to the Chachamim. And Rebbe says, no, it depends. As an Isha, it works. As a Yavama, it doesn't work. What's that machlokus? Six different ways to explain that machlokus. Again, the summary right now, I will not go through each one of them, but in order presentation, this is pretty standard. Rav Yosef, followed then by Abaye, followed then by Rava, and then Rav Shravya, Rav Ashi, Ravina. And basically, also, just in terms of generations, it usually organizes it in terms of who came before whom generationally. Okay, good. Anyway, that's number one. Number two is a lot of cleanup of our Mishnah, meaning our Mishnah seems to have omitted a couple of lines, seems to have given us points that were beyond obvious. And so for the balance of Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph, and a good part of Nun Gimel, Amud Beis, so a cleanup of the various cases of our Mishnah in terms of why omitting certain lines and why giving us cases that are obvious. But the standard answer to the Gemara is because our Mishnah is going over every single case. And then finally, the last thing that we did is, when it comes to chalitza and bia, action points min haTorah. If they were done first, that's it. Chalitza means yibum is over. Bia would mean she's your wife. If now done in the second or third slot, so what would be the impact? So according to Reb Nechemiah, it's a funny place to start, but it's the easiest one to say over. According to Reb Nechemiah, story over. Doesn't matter whether it's first, second, or third slot. Xeris the Rabbanan, Reb Nechemiah says, I disagree. Okay, and by the way, just as a general point, which I know I've made before, Xeris are subject to a machlokas tanaim. Yep, Xeris are subject to machlokas tanaim. Meaning some tanaim say that the Xera took effect, some tanaim say the Xera didn't take effect. Okay, how to say it, I'm not sure, but yes. Xeris are subject to machlokas tanaim, whether there is or there isn't a Xera. And then that's from Nechemiah. The Shita of the Chachamim is, no, there's going to be a difference between Chalitza and Bia. Chalitza, no need to make a Gzera. Bia, there's a need to make a Gzera. Okay? And finally, the Shita of Rebbe Meir, Gzera both in Bia and in Chalitza. If not done in the first slot, but done in the second or third slot, so then a Gzera both in the case of Bia and in the case of Chalitza.